Well, that,
David Beckwith.
It might be even be the same one, but I, slightly different.
Is that the clambake?
Yes, this is a clambake.
Foot of Hotel Hill?
Yes, it's.
Sort of down near where 88 is?
Yes. Well, not as, quite as far as 88.
It's between 88 and the Lower Drift Road.
Well, so there's a brook here, there was a.
Well, here it is, you see, here's where we are, right here.
Mm-hmm.
And you go down the hill, and it's right there, just about by the brook.
Oh, I see, I didn't realize there was a brook.
Yes, the, over here, that where the highway is.
Mm-hmm, I see.
The, but that's.
Was that sort of like an annual event for people at the point, as far as you know, or was it? I mean, they held it themselves?
Well, it was a, an annual affair.
Was it a church thing?
It may well have been the Methodist church one, but I don't know. The, and I don't know whether, Leland Stevens may remember going to it. He'd be one of the.
He's somebody we ought to tape.
Yes, oh, it would be.
Yeah.
The, his father was the.
What you do would be to take, you know, a series of photographs like this and add to one of those old timers.
Yes, that would give them a good start, and help us to identify those we don't know.
Is that as crowded as it looks, or is, like, is that trees?
Oh, yes, it's all filled with people in the woods.
They had a lot of people.
That's incredible.
All their families and the children.
The.
Old and young.
And they have.
I have a picture at home of the darlingest old lady with one of these little funny bonnets that sits on top, you know, and ties under the chin, and she's sitting in a chair there at the edge of the clambake. I don't know who she is, but she's just lovely.
I know I have a lot more pictures somewhere of such things. I'm trying to think, yeah, but that's a nostalgic scene that.
Yeah. I hope it reproduces well. Do you know much about the livery stable over at the Smackenbill Brothers livery stable? It Dottie's with the magnifying glass read the print, and it says Westport Harbor livery and boarding stable on Smackenbill Brothers, says contractors. But it looks to be on a pond because you can see across.
I think that's at the harbor.
Right.
Well, this is 71.
What are you talking about?
The Westport Harbor.
This.
It says.
It says Westport Harbor, but I was wondering, like, where exactly, sort of where it was. And
Macomber Stables.
Mm-hmm. But it just be wonderful to see any. The old Indian burial ground here. You've heard of that?
From
the no, I don't know.
The
well, there's a Macomber, but there, but
there's
I.
No chairman of the exhibition itself.
Looks like rabbit. Looks like rabbit.
Babbitt, B-A-B-B-I-T-T. And it's close to where.
We still haven't got a date for
it. Where the sign is, which I didn't.
No, it's Babbitt. It is.
It's Babbitt.
No, that's.
That's really. I was just wondering if you had a date.
Yeah, see it.
That's really.
You just see that.
We haven't done it yet.
That's the meeting house, isn't it?
No, that's the Knotty Pine.
Yes.
Knotty Shingle Church.
Monday?
Oh.
That's the one that burned down?
Yeah, Monday.
Well, Lucia, that's. Lucia and I tried to buy it, and. When it had its pulpit in it, and I thought Lucia could, she could lecture to me. She never liked that idea. But the Arthur Allen, was the one in charge, and he dilly-dallied, and one of the Westport firemen set it afire because they could get some overtime pay if they had some fires.
Is that quotable in paper, or is that a conjecture? Legend has it, or?
Well, I mean, you check on it, but well, don't. Asked the chief of police whether I think the fellow was prosecuted for the part, but I don't remember the name or anything else. But
that would be interesting.
Meeting Tuesday night.
That do you know how active that one that was active? I know something that said it burned in 47, but I was
the,
want to meet at
land, for it was under the will of Richard Gifford in 1820.
Is that what they use?
And it was doing fine until the second coming in 1844 was inexplicably delayed.
Oh, were they expecting?
Oh, they were expecting it, and they got all ready for it, and they had their final prayers, and they made peace with the Lord and had prayer meetings that could be heard for about a mile of the, and the prophet predicted when it was going to be, and he said, well, he made some wrong calculations. It, instead of being in April, it would be in October of next year. And then after that, they split up, and some of the faithful left the meeting. I have the records of the church. And the member so-and-so was called before the meeting because of having some lingering doubts, and they read her out of the meeting here.
Was a Christian church, I believe, was that correct?
But they, it's a form of Baptist.
But it wasn't related to any one denomination?
See, there were four or five Christian churches in West, but the one that's still standing over near Mackinac's Garage is one of them. That's the second Christian church.
Right, and then there's that one in Hicksburg, I guess.
Yes, that's the, and then the Brownell's Corner had one.
Right.
And they were in Mattapoisett, the Christian church. Hicksville is very active as one of that denomination.
So that was one. That's interesting. I have to find out about the
Westport
fire.
Westport Church was Christian, wasn't it? The one that closed?
Yes, so recently, I think it was after the fifth.
The one that has the Indian pews?
Yes, the.
What does that mean?
Well, some of the pews are reserved for Indians.
Oh, okay. I see. Do you know anything about the fire? About the fire, the person who started the fire in the Naughty Pine?
Nobody knows, but we all have a pretty good idea.
Do you know if it was ever brought to court or anything?
No.
Oh, it's all just
rumors.
What
fire was that?
Not a single church.
It was near Ferdinand's, right at the corner of the cemetery.
The southeast corner of Hicksbridge Road and Main Road.
And there was some disgruntled person there?
No, the building was empty for years and years and years, and they wouldn't let anybody use it for anything. And there was only one trustee left.
Just about. I mean,
now,
Arthur.
Now it's right now being
Arthur Allen,
at least.
Chet Gifford's wife, Teresa, is one of the parishioners.
But not a trustee.
Because she's now trustee of the Quaker meeting.
Yes, I think.
She was fairly young when it burned.
Yeah, she would be one of the youngest members that.
Would it be libelous to print that it was arson?
No.
Well,
nobody knows.
I'd be careful about saying it, but if you spoke to chief of police and asked whether had any basis or not, some others would remember.
Right. Then I'll hold off right on that.
Yes.
That's fascinating. Nice little scandal about that.
We want to have some scandal in our booklet.
Yeah. No, this booklet's going to be
a bit of that around.
Every word is going to have to mean 40 different things to get in everything we're going to have to get in.
And you can't hurt anybody too much with the truth either, because enough living people
take
exceptions.
If you get back in the rum-running days, it's well not to quote things
very,
because
very careful.
Hijacking and murders and other things took place, and there's no statute of limitation on them.
History.
That's why I feel it's this.
And some of our leading citizens had members of their family involved in it.
Counts me out on the
floor. You're safe.
Yeah, you can write it for me. Somebody told me that Victoria Lincoln's book, February Beach or February somewhere, there is about rum running. Is that, does anyone know about it? I was wanted to read some books about rum running, and that was the only one someone could suggest. They have it in the library, but they have it on reserve, and it's a novel, and I didn't really have a lot of time to sit down and read it, so I just skimmed it, and it seemed to be about a family, but. I wonder if there are any books about.
Westport was pretty quiet about it. We have
no,
a
I don't
of
think any
anybody
word of mouth tales, but nobody dared be very specific.
How about the egg snail murder case? That
yes.
Something ought to be done on that thing. You better, you should.
The Angus Snail?
Angus Snail.
We can't get into that tonight. That's too much of a story. But that's something that you should learn about.
That sounds fascinating.
I think one of the members.
I'll sit down and make
one
a
of the family
is
still
right,
around.
Say somebody really
Gladys Brancini. Brancini.
Angus was convicted of
murder. Oh, well, he was not the victim.
What's that? Tillinghast Kirby was the
Kirby, yes.
The victim.
Part of 1903,
off Gooseberry Neck, and body came ashore. He and I used to teach my Boy Scouts how to tie knots, and be able to tie one so that. If you tied it to a rock, it would stay on the rock, and because Angus Snell had a rope around his neck and nothing on the other end, and his body came ashore. And I thought the boy should be prepared for everything. And it was only years later that I learned that it was a mushroom anchor that had been on the rope. And
what's
when he was thrown over after being hit on the head off Gooseberry Neck, a big storm came, and in the storm, the body pulled enough to chafe against the barnacles on the rocks so that it was a frayed rope and it was on the end.
His
body came here, so all my moral of the story and teaching knot tying was to no avail.
Well, you know, Norman and Lewis were down on the beach,
mm-hmm.
and they saw the boat out there, mm-hmm. and they saw the Kirby and the snowman out there, and they knew,
mm-hmm.
Not well, but they
mm-hmm.
knew who they were. And then there was only one man in the boat.
Shortly afterwards?
Yeah, while they were
at
still
the time,
the
day of the murder.
Yeah.
This is Norman and...
Norman and his brother.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. That
they didn't know anything
that's
specific. They
that.
Just
that's
knew that there were two men and then there was
mm-hmm.
only one man.
Uh-huh.
And Angus was very interested mm-hmm. right away to see the body when they finally found it two or three days later, maybe a week later. And he was, I guess he wanted to see what was around the his neck or not. But that's interesting, Norman. Harry Howland's nephew has written quite a history of this Angus Snell murder. And I have a copy of his draft, but I just think that Norman was right nearby.
Well, they got brought in for questioning because there's
yes.
witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but they couldn't tell much because they really didn't know much.
What was the motive?
Well, Angus, 6 months before, met a friend on the street in Fall River, and he said, Bird and Head, ran the hotel on East Beach, has a lot of money. We might go out fishing with him and hit him on the head, and we'd be able to get the money. After he, Angus was... indicted for the murder of Tillinghast Kirby, who had left from this same hotel fishing the same time Angus did. Someone recalled the fellow recalled Angus had proposed doing that to another man, and it was admissible or admitted in court in his trial. And he appealed partly on the ground whether the conversation he'd had with another man 6 months before to do essentially the same thing to another person would be admissible when he was charged with having killed Tillinghast Kirby, and the court concluded that it was admissible. And so Angus stayed in jail.
Was he executed?
No, he was... he died in jail, but he wasn't executed. I don't.
You know how many children he had?
No.
You know?
I'm not sure that I'm right in pointing the finger to any of them, but I think there is one around.
Quite a few lived up in this
area. I'm not
area.
Sure of the name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, this is all fact.
Yeah, no.
This is
it's
published
all
fact.
Public
so
record.
It's not telling tales that you hear.
Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, as far as one of his daughters is concerned, if she's still around, I don't think we want to be too specific.
I don't know. I mean, she'd have another name now.
I didn't know that our plumber Field was a son of Joe Field.
Well,
he was a fellow during the rum running days who went out lobstering, never came in.
Oh, yes.
See, but
yes.
That's when they get dropped
off.
Yes. Let's go find Joe.
I wish I'd had this tape machine when Norman was around,
oh,
because
yes.
he knew a lot of these people,
yes,
too.
Yeah.
And I think that at that time he was old enough so that, I don't know whether he was in the FBI then or not, but I knew he had a very great interest in the what happened. He knew the Fields, I guess. Maybe that was it.
No, that a lot of.
Because Viola, yeah, they lived at the head, and of course Norman's grandfather was up there, so he was up there every summer.
Yeah, I remember. I was about 8, or so, and it just seemed to me that there was a mystery about old timers and the others around had seemed to be rather quiet or something full of suspense in any discussion and, about it. And the boat was never found, but the man with him was found in a life jacket with a broken neck, the Manchester boat at the harbor. And afterwards, when some of the off group that used to meet down in the what we call the Liars Club, the whole park building right at the end of the point. They'd have bootleg whiskey and beer, and when they were getting high, someone would propose an expedition to find Joe Field, and I think at times some of them were alleged to have rowed out around the spindle even with their exuberance. Well, that's it.
You want to be on tape like Green's a bit.
He is on tape.
Good.
Dick said, talking about the list of doctors at the Bicentennial Exhibition, Dr. William Almy was one of them. He had 3 illegitimate children by 3 different women, and when he died, he left it in his will that each child would get a good share of this world's goods. He was quite frank about it all.